Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are listening to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the Household Express program. I'm your host, Sister Zinat, standing in for Sister Amara, who, as we all know, is currently in Medina, alhamdulillah. Also joining me in the studio today is our regular guest, Sister Khadija Ibrahim, and we will be hopefully keeping you company until 11 o'clock this morning, inshallah. Well, today we commence our program not with an inspiration, but with an interview, alhamdulillah, a surprise guest for all of us. That will be followed. I'm sure we're going to miss out on the remedy segment today. If we do have time, we will do that. But if not, then we're going to skip the remedy segment and we will be going on to the homemaking segment. And today we're looking at things that can be used twice before tossing. And then for the recipe segment, which comes up a little later with Sister Khadija Ibrahim, we'll be discussing tips on how to get rid of smell in freshly slaughtered meat, how to clean different parts of slaughtered animals, for example, the liver, the brains, the payas, the stomach, and so on. And of course, some mouth-watering, easy-to-prepare, freshly slaughtered meat recipes, inshallah. And today we're looking at salt and pepper mutton, salt and pepper roast leg, masala leg roast, and Sikh kebab. So those are some of the recipes that you can look forward to a little later in the program. Right, we have our wonderful guest online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Mara.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Sister Zinat, and to Auntie Khadija Ibrahim. How are you, and to all listeners out there? Assalamu alaikum, how are you all doing?
Alhamdulillah, we're doing well. We're trying our best to do as best as we can on the Household Express, but I think we're really all missing you, normally doing the programs. Sister Khadija?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Amara. Oh, we're really, really missing you.
I'm missing you. I'm thinking of you so much. And, making dua for all listeners, for all my family, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, it's wonderful to be able to talk to you. And we didn't want to say who we're talking to, but like I said, today we've got no inspiration, but I hope you will be inspiring us and motivating us, inshallah, so that we can all make plans to try and go down for try and perform our Hajj at some stage in our lives, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen.
Sister Amara and I, you are away from home for almost a week now. How is your journey from Johannesburg to Medina been?
Well, Zinat, I must say, leaving home, I think it was a shock in Trana day, yes? And very emotional. Very emotional, pretty farewell to family and friends. And leaving from Johannesburg airport, alhamdulillah shukr, we went through customs nicely and we boarded the flight. Alhamdulillah, the flight was on time. We had our meals in the flight. And then, interacted with one of the hujjaj that were with us on the flight. And then thereafter, we landed in Jeddah. Alhamdulillah, flight details, everything went well. And it was our first time on Hajj terminal. And it was basically a breeze. It was basically empty, empty, empty. And the Saudi officials were so well organized. They got us seated there. Checked our vaccination cards there. I think that's one of the important things they check is your vaccination card. If you have all your vaccinations, if you don't have, they actually make arrangements and actually give it to you. But you must make sure you got all the vaccinations as well. And then, we were so fortunate that our agent organized for us to have all our mobile phone cards. We're actually given mobile phone cards. And we all inserted it into our cell phones. And in that way, you can actually, interact with your family over back home as well. And then we had to actually go to the domestic terminal where we had to take a flight from Jeddah to Medina. Well, there was a bit of a wait. But alhamdulillah, by the time we reached Medina, was Thursday, just before Zuhr Salah.
Alhamdulillah. So how did you feel, and how do you feel, being in one of the most blessed cities in the world? And also, I'm sure by now you are preparing to go to Makkah, that is another, blessed city in the world. And when will you be leaving Medina for Makkah?
Well, being in Medina, one feels so blessed, like shukr to Allah, for giving us the chance to visit the Holy Lands. And I'm really happy to be in Medina, the city of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, Medina is the heart of every Muslim. Leading Salah in the Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives one a feeling of infinite calm and a deep sense of fulfillment. Even the air itself is so calm, you know. There are so many pilgrims coming in from different countries around the world. And just so many people here, you know, they're actually wearing different types of clothes and... But it's just so beautiful, yeah. But the whole air is so calm, it's so serene, and it's so much of peace. And you know, you basically leave all your worries behind, and you come here and you just unwind. And you know, Ibadah is all you know. You know, you're spending your time only in Ibadah, making yourself to and from the haram all the time, and also keeping on the health wise, also keeping yourself hydrated all the time. It's about 47 degrees outside, so it's quite hot indeed.
Okay, and how have you been spending your time in Medina? You know, have you been going out or are you just around in Medina? Have you done any ziyarat?
We have done ziyarat. We came on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We went on ziyarat Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. At half past 7, the bus took us on ziyarat. We went to all the places. We went to Masjid al-Quba, which is also a sunnah to read, perform the two rakats namaz day, and also to visit Masjid al-Quba on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. So alhamdulillah, it was so inspiring, but very, very full day, with lots and lots of pilgrims coming there on Saturday as well. Then we went to visit many, many ziyarat places, Mount Uhud as well, and so many others also. Well, so many of the wells have been closed now, you know. Mm-hmm. And our ziyarat basically ended off with a lovely ice cream. It's actually called a Bardesi ice cream, and it was so tasty, with pista sprinkled on top. Mm. Very, very tasty.
Lovely. Our mouth waters, really, Sister Mara.
Well, Sister Khadija, I think you've been there not so many years ago.
Yes, I did. Uh-huh. And I know Medina normally has the most nicest ice creams you ever get.
Wow. Really, we think about that, and you're really making us wish we were there, Sister Mara. Anyway,
I've never tasted ice cream like that in my whole life. I remember when Umrah about 2 years back, we had that ice cream as well. And then this time again, you know, it was compliments from our agent, and the bus stops at the Medina market, where you can actually buy your kajur how much you want. And be also a bit careful how much you buy because of the weight problem when you're going to come back home. Mm. And then we stopped at the ice cream store. And those Bardesi ice cream is actually called in small brown cups by Safari. Very rich ice cream with pista sprinkled on top. Very, very tasty. It tastes like barfi.
Oh, you're having our mouth water, yeah. Anyway, Sister Mara, you've been there for a week now. You know, perhaps you would like to share with us just an interesting incident that you may have witnessed or an interesting person that you may have met thus far. Anything of that sort happened?
Yes, I won't say persons in that nature, mm-hmm. isn't it? But you know, when we arrived on Thursday, Zohar time, then towards, walking towards the Haram on Thursday evening for Maghrib Salah, you could actually feel a wind coming out, a breeze coming out, and it started raining. Ah. And the same thing happened on Friday, and the same thing happened on Saturday. There was rain coming through, and you know, you're just going to sit under the umbrellas, even if you get wet, you're not worried, because you want those blessed drops of rain from Medina to fall on you. So alhamdulillah, it was so, so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. MashaAllah.
And then another interesting incident, Zinid, I've seen so many pilgrims coming through, and believe it or not, they are basically hunched. They are hunched, but they're walking to the masjid. They're actually praying their salah, but they are completely hunched.
Oh, my shame. It's lovely.
Another interesting incident, Zinat, is, you know, you find, you know, we live in hotels right across the haram, near the haram. And, you know, we must make so much of shukr. You get pilgrims that live kilometers far from the haram, and they have to walk in the hot sun. And literally they ward them in the pandemics, and they walk. It takes about 2 hours to walk to and from the haram, but they walk.
Yeah, so can you imagine, you know, what time they leave for their salah, to perform their salah? And I'm sure everyone out there wouldn't want to miss this opportunity of being in the masjid and to perform their salah in Masjid Nabi. Alhamdulillah.
We must make so much of shukr for that as well.
Have you been managing, how's the crowds now, you know, coming to... this is your second Jummah, inshallah, tomorrow. What do you think it would be like tomorrow?
I think now it's about years, like a week now that we're here, and you know, there's so many buses and buses of pilgrims coming in, and then so many buses leaving Medina as well, going to Makkah. So, but Medina is really, really full. You have to go well before time to the Haram if you want to get right into the Haram, or else you're going to end up living under umbrellas, which we don't really mind, but it's quite hot as well. And everybody wants to be in Haram because of air cons and that. It's but it's very, very full. There's so many pilgrims coming in from all buses and buses. Coming in all the time and then leaving as well.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Well, Sister Mara, just one question. This is the Household Express, and we need to ask you this. What about the food out there? What is the food like? Have you tried food, you know, different foods, of course, you know, not just the normal foods that we normally eat, but anything different, anything that you perhaps may have tried, you know, that people in Medina have? I know you told us about the lovely ice cream and the juices, perhaps. Did you have anything special there?
There's lots of juices here. They actually have like a white guava juice. You know, when we have a guava juice in South Africa, It's the red. So here they actually have a white guava juice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a lemon juice with mint in. Now that is so refreshing. It's very cooling. And you get different types of juices as well. Then you get a cup of juice that's with, it's strawberry, it's a kiwi, and it's mango. So it's a three-color juice. They actually show you the three-color, all the juices in the cup, and that is so filling indeed. It's quite tasty in that. Then you get yogurt, which is normally made into a drink called Laban. They have lots and lots of that, but it's very cooling indeed. And then also, according to Saudi Arabian culture, serving coffee, the chakawa, is a sign of hospitality and generosity. Also, drinking tea is also a popular custom in Saudi Arabia. Now, even at breakfast time, we serve lots of olives, cheese, different types of bread. And they call something, you know, you actually have it in a big pot, like a soup pot. They actually call it ful. And actually, a lot of Arabs actually have that. Then they have something called sambusik. That's called a fried stuffed pastry. Also, they call another, like a milk drink. It's called shibiya. It's called a drink of grain mixed with sugar, milk, and cinnamon. And then you have your rice, you have your lamb, your chicken, you have your shawarmas and your falafels as well. And I think the shawarmas are our favorites here.
Okay.
And then you get your South African cooks that's actually living in Medina, and you can always order from them your curry khichdi, your Italian rice, your roast chicken, just our homely food. You need to feel for your home food.
Okay. So you are enjoying the foods, I hope, inshallah.
Yes, we're enjoying the food here indeed.
Alhamdulillah. Well, Jazakallah, Sister Mara, it was wonderful talking to you. Please convey our salams to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah accept all your du'as and all your ibadat and make it very easy for you, inshallah, and your family and all the hujaj that have gone down that side, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen.
Okay, we will then, inshallah, catch up with you again very soon, inshallah. Sister Mara, Sister Khadija?
Jazakallah, it was so nice having you on air with us, Sister Mara. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala still accept all your ibadat, and please remember us all in your du'as.
Okay. Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah, Sazunin, and Jazakallah to Aunt Khadija Ibrahim, and Jazakallah to all the listeners out there, and you know, Jazakallah to all for your well wishes and your messages of support and love and du'as. And to all my family out there also, love you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, that was our very own Sister Mara, who is in Medina and will soon be leaving for Makkah. Alhamdulillah, so it's wonderful to be able to talk to her. Okay, we're going to continue our program now. We're certainly going to be leaving out the remedy segment today. We'll do that, inshallah, maybe next week or so. We're going to go on to our next segment, which is the homemaking segment. And today we're looking at things that you can actually use twice before tossing. Now, that's a question that I have for our listeners today, too. Well, you know, what do you use twice before tossing? Or maybe even more than twice, for that matter. So if you have any ideas and you would like to share them with us, any of your tips, the number to dial is 011-854-1548. And our SMS number is 082-84-92786. That number again, 082-84-92786. Okay, so let's start off today. some of the things that you can use twice before tossing. The first one that I have here is the dry cleaning bags, Sister Khadija.
Yes.
You know, when you send your clothes, you have those long ones, especially those long ones. And I think that's wonderful for our clothes.
Especially we with our abayas and that
yes,
it works
definitely.
Wonders,
you know? They say to use, it is you can use it to pack your suits, your dresses and your fine clothing when traveling. This will help protect it from wrinkles when packing.
Yes.
And when storing the bags, just make sure that you keep them safely and out of reach of children. That's the only thing. They really are that dangerous. You know, it's a big plastic bag.
Yes.
So you need to. But it's very, very useful when you're traveling. You know, you don't have to look for
Find your clothes and all that. You just pack it in there.
Yeah, you don't have to buy those special clothing bags.
No. Yes.
You know, and that can get lost in the process or you can misplace it somewhere. So, yeah, even if they do get lost in the process, it's not a problem. Then we have butter wrappers. Now, Sister Khadija, once you've removed a block of butter from its wrapping, place the wrapping in a plastic container or a bag and refrigerate, and then use it to grease baking pans.
Yes.
You were saying
it's
something
so
about
true.
It?
My mother-in-law always used to, whenever she used to make fruitcake, she used to always line her pan with the butter wrappers, and it really, really worked very well because you don't have to grease the pan.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, so yes, that's what you can do with a butter wrapper. And you know what we normally do is we just, especially when you're making ghee, I mean there's so many that you can actually, we just throw it away.
Yes.
But Alhamdulillah, you can actually use it again. Then, you know, these business cards, whenever we go anywhere to any of these faiths that they have, we're always collecting all these little cards from them. So you can actually use the other side to label storage boxes and tubs and tape to the outside of the lip or to the side so you can actually see at a glance what the container is holding.
Very true.
So you can use it. You don't have to throw it away after a while. You can actually just turn it around and use it.
Use it, yes.
And then used envelopes, Sister Mara. Sister Mara must be talking about us that side. Sister Khadija, they say you can actually use it. What you need to do is to cut a corner off envelopes and use as bookmark.
Good
idea. You know, and even for the Quran, you can use that when you're reading. Instead of putting
things,
you know, little markers into your Quran, you just put... you cut a small
corner
of the envelope and you just slip it onto your page.
Such a good
and there
idea.
You have it,
yes.
Alhamdulillah. So it's a bookmark corner sleeves, just slide over the page and you'll find your place easily the next time you pick up a book or your Quran for that matter, or your recipe books. If it's a favorite recipe, you can just, put that thing there and Alhamdulillah. So you can use that. So even your books, even your pages will not fold.
Fold, because it's so nicely sealed.
Then the cardboard egg cartons.
Mm-hmm.
I think many people use them, but you can also use these to make homemade fire starters. You know, if you're making fires or if you're having a braai, for that matter.
Even if you want to, you can even put a little bit of, these herbs and that in those little... holes, and it grows so nice in there.
It's wonderful for seedlings.
Yes, for
if you want to start up your seedlings, 100%, you can use that.
It works
seedlings.
Wonders.
Tissue boxes, they say, once they empty, you can use these as plastic bag dispensers.
Okay.
You know, if we ever have so many plastic bags when you come back shopping. So, you know, put them in there. You just fill the grocery bags, and you'll be able to neatly pull out one at a time.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm. Also, the plastic grocery bags you can use as garbage pail liners and paint tray covers, packing material.
Yes, that comes a lot in use, the empty packets that you come from when you shop.
Mm-hmm. And one of the ways of storing it also is just to fold up your plastic bags.
Yes.
You know, just fold them up and pack them away and you can, it's so easy
to
just pull out and use again. Plastic bread clips, you know, we buy breads and there's so many. So this is what you can do. They say save a few of the square plastic clips that keep bread bags closed to use as tiny scrapers. They come in handy to remove labels, price tags, and even to do a good job when scratching lottery tricks. Now, of course, we don't do all that. But what they also mentioned, they say they also use this as a little bobbin. You know, you can use it as a bobbin where you knot. All your different color cottons, you can just, you know, from the bobbin, you wind it. If you don't have enough bobbins, obviously, then you just wind it around this. And alhamdulillah, you have a little bobbin. That's a wonderful idea too. And you can also use it for your own plastic bags, you know, when you're filling up
when
something.
You're sealing it, especially when you're freezing something, also it freezes, it seals very well.
Then your newspaper, you can line it for so many things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you're cooking in the kitchen, I know this is one of, you know, it's a way where you can work neatly. Mm. You just put it onto your table.
Yes. Even to throw all your garbage on
everything.
It works. There's so many ways you can use newspaper for.
Yes. And they say you can use it for you line your kitty litter boxes.
Uh-huh.
If you have cats, many people do have cats. It's for easy cleanup. Protect your work surfaces from crafts and interior paint jobs. Gift wrap, use as packing material when moving or shopping.
Yes.
So obviously,
so
you know, many people actually use it as a gift wrap.
A gift wrap, and it makes it looks so beautiful.
It's so pretty. Just wrap your gift in there with a pretty little ribbon, pretty something over it. And
another very good idea is, I remember when we buy pearls nowadays, this lady sells the pearl, puts it in a packet, one of these plastic packets, and then she wraps it in newspaper. So she uses a lot of newspaper all the time, and you won't believe it, the newspaper really keeps it nice.
Alhamdulillah. So yes, there's many uses, you know.
Yes.
You don't really just have to throw away things.
No.
Always think of what you can use it
again,
for.
Yes. Recycled.
It's alhamdulillah, it's wonderful to be able to use things. And you know, you save so much money. And especially in the days, you know, with the way things are going right now, you need to learn all these tricks.
100%.
Then the paper towel cardboard rolls. Did you know that you can use it to wrap your extension cords? And, you know, sometimes people have those little fairy lights and things like that. You can actually put it in there. It helps helps it to stay untangled.
Yeah.
Because many a times we have so many of these wires everywhere.
Cords and all the clear. So
it stays neat and it stays untangled. I think that's the most important thing to do. There's many, many other things that you can use here. There's also the mesh from the veggie base. The veggie bag, sorry.
Yes.
You can use that for so many things. They say if you buy your vegetables that are bagged in nylon mesh, you can use that mesh for various cleaning jobs around the house and the yard.
Yes.
To wash your walls,
even
to wash your
oranges bag or the onion bags, it works so nice.
Yeah. They say just wet up the bag and use as a scrubber.
It does.
So you don't even need, actually, you don't need
any.
You're not to clean your carpets.
Yeah.
My domestic always uses this to wash the carpets.
Bags, empty bags to wash the carpet. And it comes out so clean.
So there's so many things that you can use twice before, getting rid of it. Another one that I just wanted to share with you is the cereal liner bags. Apa Khadija? You clean and use for stacking meat patties before freezing. So you can actually, you know, they thicker.
They're much thicker.
And
yes.
You store your bread crust. You cover food in the microwave with that plastic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also another thing that I came across where the cereal liner bags is concerned is that you can use it as a piping bag.
Yes, because it's a much stronger bag.
It's a stronger bag. And you can use
it in the oars out.
So alhamdulillah, you know, there are so many things that we can use. Your brown paper bags, they say, use once, twist into small rolls and use as fire starters.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other one, packing foam peanuts. Save them and reuse when packing breakables, storing, your decorations or sending gifts in the mail. So you can use that, you know, as just to keep it firm so that it doesn't move around in your box if you're sending something.
Yes.
And the citrus peels they were talking about, you know, they say you can use to make your own homemade citrus cleaners, candy peels to use in baking or freeze the peels to use in recipes as needed.
Yes.
Right?
Like, for instance, when you're making like cook sisters or something and they need that, it works wonders.
They say save your peels from citrus fruits like lemons and oranges. And you can also toss them in the fireplace when you have a fire going,
so to give the room a nice smell.
A
citrus smell, yes.
So it gives the room like a fresh smell. Well, alhamdulillah, there are so many more, but these are some of the ones that I've shared with you today. I hope they will be of some benefit to our listeners out there. We're going to take a break, and inshallah, when we return, we're going to take hopefully one or two of our messages that's come in, and we're going to go on to our recipe segment with Sister Khadija Ibrahim. Stay tuned.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top performing Sharia compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 274.com. 274 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. On the authority of Abi Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, a man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advise me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not become angry. The man repeated his request several times, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not become angry. Related by Al-Bukhari.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spice. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Venezia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
You are listening to Household Express on Radio Islam International.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Household Express. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and with me in the studio is our regular guest, Sister Khadija Ibrahim. And we're now on to the recipe segment, alhamdulillah. In this segment, we're hoping to discuss tips on how to get rid of smell in the freshly slaughtered meat. Remember, Kurbani is just around the corner, Bakrid is around the corner, so we're going to be having lots of meat again, and we're going to be having, especially us as ladies.
Yes.
I know there's a lot of men that help too, but as women, that's our job.
Yes.
To see to all the meat and to, pack it and freeze it and make up the parcels and whatever has to be done. So what we want to do today is just to ask our listeners, perhaps you can help us out too, on some of the tips on how to get rid of the smell in meat, freshly slaughtered meat, yes, of course, and also how to clean the different parts of slaughtered animals. For example, the liver, the brain system, Mara, okay. I think that's one of the things I want to run away from because I don't know how to do it. The payas,
that's a big job.
The stomach.
The tripe, yes.
Yes, no, I would rather not do that. That's not my my work, but it's a good idea to know how to do it. Yes. There's so many people out there that would actually do it, you know.
Normally, Zeenat, to get rid of the smell in the meat, vinegar is one of the best medicines to use. Vinegar works really very well, and it does take the smell away. One of the very most, the biggest thing to get rid of the smell is vinegar will work well.
Vinegar. So how do you do it?
You actually soak it in the meat a little, and you can add it to your food also. So it's like, even onion works very well.
Okay.
When you cook it with onion, it normally takes the smell away also. And then you have to prepare it well, of course, very nice. Don't leave that water, all the time and things like that.
Alhamdulillah, we've got two lovely messages that's come in. Alhamdulillah, it makes us really feel good.
Okay.
It says, Assalamu alaikum, Sister Zeenat. It's so nice to have you on Household Express teamed up with my favorite and lovely auntie. Welcome aboard, Sister Zeenat. Jazakallah khair, sister. We really appreciate it.
She says, another message, Assalamu alaikum, Sister Zeenat, enjoying your program. And it was really, you know, they were really happy to listen to Sister Amara all the way from Medina via the airways of Radio Islam. Alhamdulillah. This is her program, and we thought it just wonderful to be able to speak to her a little bit. So, Jazakallah khair for that. We really appreciate it. You sending us these messages. Sister Khadija, now, cleaning up the different parts of these animals. Let's look at the liver first.
The liver?
How do you, what is there? Like the kalaji, as we know it. The kalaji, the heart, the, what's the lungs, all of that normally comes together, and they just pull out that whole lot with the heart and all that, and they give it to you like that, and you now sit with this whole thing. How do we clean it?
You must be very careful, because what happens, the gallbladder is in the liver, and that might... It must not even touch the liver and the kidneys, because the whole thing will become butter. So you must know how and when how to cut the whole thing. And besides the kalaji itself, when you're preparing it, soak it in water with vinegar, because it has a lot of blood in it. So hopefully, like, you know, most of the blood will come out. And you just have to rinse it out and prepare your food. The kalaji, the best thing for kurbani on Eid day is, you know, it is so nice, because we normally do it at home and we don't even cook anything else besides the meat for that day. The first thing that comes into the kitchen is the kalaji. And I normally slice it up very thinly. You wash it out in cold water and you just put it up to get cooked, and it really, really tastes different.
Okay.
The kurbani meat just tastes different on the day.
Yes, I know. I am witness to that, alhamdulillah, and I have tasted it. It's absolutely delicious. So that, I know when I go there early in the morning, the pots are up already, and I'm wondering, so when did you get all this
and
done?
And this is what we do. This is how we celebrate our Bakri Eid day. We don't prepare anything before the time. It's on that day of the Eid that we make. You won't believe, by the time the man comes home from Eidgah, the food is ready, the leg roast is already put in a pressure cooker, and it's cooked already.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, that's another thing that is so handy. And Sister Khadija, you wouldn't believe me, but I had one many years ago, but I never bothered to get the pressure cooker. I've just got one now.
Oh.
And alhamdulillah, I think I'm not going to be able
to... Take my word and just do what I say, and you won't believe it. I promise, there are men that come for breakfast and the fresh meat is on the table already.
So what time do you slaughter them?
Well... You see, some people say, well, after Fajr now, at our masjid, the namaz is so much earlier. So as soon as the men are at home, my sheep gets slaughtered first, and I put up all that meat up. For lunch, we have the fresh meat. For supper, I actually make fresh samosas. We make kebabs. There's so many. We make mutton fresh tarkari or a rice dish. So you can do it. It's not that you can't do it.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. And yes, I've seen it and I've watched it. And I can really say when we come there early in the morning to slaughter, the food is ready.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
So in slow
we already
tasted. And they're already having the meat. So,
alhamdulillah.
The whole thing.
Okay, here's another message that came in. It says, Assalamu alaikum. When buying boxes of items, this is just another tip for us. For example, oat cereal, tasty wheat, and you're storing it in your Tupperwares, then cut out the label of the item from the box and place it in the, on the Tupperwares, so you know what it is. It becomes your label. It works for me. Jazakallah khair. This comes from Umi Yusuf.
Jazakallah
khair. Wonderful idea. Here's another one. Assalamu alaikum. How are you? Lovely to have you on the cookery show again. I soak the kale, in vinegar and water, rinse it, soak it in milk for a while, and then cook it very tasty.
Yes. That also is a top.
That's a kalaji.
That's
a kalaji.
Yes,
it works wonders. You know, the milk, actually, if you soak it in milk. Sister Khadija, your kalaji doesn't get that blackish color.
It tastes nice.
Oh, it looks lovely. You know, it looks like a lovely curry, kalaji curry that you've made. Or it may be not very curry. It's not very too much of gravy, but it looks absolutely delicious. I don't know. I know there's many people that don't like kalaji.
I know. Not only kalaji. I think they don't like the kurbani meat. But really, there is a big difference. It really tastes different to the other meat that you cook during the course of the year.
Okay, there's another message that's come in before we start with our recipes, and I think this is the last one we'll take.
Yes.
It says, Assalamu alaikum. It's with regards to the roast masala recipe which was given last week.
Yeah.
The sister says, we made it. We're making fish today. What other things can we add with it? And if we use that masala, what can we add with it from time to time?
Okay, again, the choice is entirely up to you. In that mixture that you want to marinate your fish, you'll have to put a bit of lemon juice, your dry turner inside, your arad. You can grate a tomato. Again, it's up to you. But like I said, that recipe, you can use it for most of the dishes, for steak, for fish, for chops, for chicken, anything for that matter.
Can you, like you said, can you add
yes,
whatever you
can.
Need to add to
you,
it?
If you want to add, like if you're making chicken, you can add a bit of ginger garlic masala also to it.
Yes,
sometimes when I make my chicken curry, I even add a little bit of this and ginger garlic masala. So you know what, it's entirely up to the individual what they want to do with.
And also a very nice tip here is, you know, sometimes you have all these little bits of sauces in your bottles left
yes.
over. You can actually make such a nice masala marinade with it
yes.
where you just take all these little bits of rinse it out with a little bit of vinegar
and then you just,
and you just
add
it to whichever masala you make sometimes. Your
yes.
steak, your roast, your chicken, your leg,
you see,
roast,
you
whatever.
Have to use your own discretion how you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like a basic masala recipe.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. You know, as the years go by, you learn and you experiment. I think the kitchen is more a laboratory where you try
just
anything
and experiment all the time.
It's amazing sometimes you prepare something and someone would want the recipe and you actually cannot give it to them because
yes.
you don't know what you threw in there. You just
added everything
and alhamdulillah, it comes out so lovely.
Yes.
Okay, Sister Khadija, I think it's time for our recipes now. Unfortunately, we won't be taking any calls or any messages now. We want to go through all these recipes. Let's start off with the first one, the salt and pepper mutton recipe.
Okay, for the salt and pepper mutton recipe, it's 2 kilograms of mutton meat cut and washed. Then you marinate it in the following ingredients. 2 tablespoons Steers garlic sauce, 2 tablespoons Nando's pepper sauce, 3 tablespoons of Jojo's jalapeno sauce, that's the green one, 1 teaspoon of garlic pepper, 1 teaspoon lemon pepper, salt to taste, 3 tablespoons of green masala, 1 tablespoon of fresh garlic, 2 tablespoons lemon juice, and 2 tablespoons of vinegar. For the method, you cook your meat with the above ingredients with some oil. Once it's almost cooked, you take 1/2 packet of onion soup mix, which you dilute it with water, and you add it to your mutton and cook it for a while. Take a blob of butter and add it to the mutton. Serve with steamed veggies and serve. Now, this recipe is not a totally dry recipe. It's a nice saucy salt and pepper steak.
Okay. I'll just go through the recipe with our listeners again. It's 2 kilograms of mutton meat cut and washed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just before we continue, how big do you normally cut it if you're just going to cook it in a normal pot?
Again, the thinner you cut it, the quicker it's going to get cooked.
Mm-hmm.
If you cut it a bit thicker, it's going to take a bit longer to cook.
But a pressure cooker, how does the pressure cooker work?
But you know, I'm not one really for a lot of pressure cooker because I still feel when you marinate it and you cook it slowly, The taste goes better into the meat.
Yes, I think.
So if you got time, I think you should just cook it rather the normal way instead of the pressure cooker.
But if you do cook mutton, especially the freshly cooked mutton,
yes.
how long does it take to cook
mutton? Well, in 1/2 hour your mutton is totally
You don't
cooked.
Add more water to it or anything?
No, the water itself. You must now judge. If you feel you need water, maybe just 1/2 cup or 1 cup the most. You cannot eat more than that.
Depending on the amount,
yes.
of course, that you put in. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so for 2 kilograms of mutton meat, you cut and wash. And then this is how you marinate it with the following ingredients. 2 tablespoons of Steers garlic sauce. 2 tablespoons of Nando's pepper sauce. 3 tablespoons of Jojo's jalapeno sauce, the green one.
Yes.
And then you need 1 teaspoon of garlic pepper, 1 teaspoon of lemon pepper,
salt to taste, 3 tablespoons of green masala, 1 teaspoon fresh garlic, that's a crush, and 2 tablespoons lemon juice, 2 tablespoons of vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to do is to cook the meat with all these ingredients with some oil. Just put a little bit of oil in there. And once almost cooked, take half a packet of onion soup mix and dilute it with water and add this to the mutton. Cook it for a little while, then just take a blob of butter and add it to the mutton. And this then can be served with steamed vegetables. Alhamdulillah.
Gee.
Sounds delicious.
Yes, it is. It's a, like I say, it's not a dry, it's a nice saucy salt and pepper mutton recipe.
Alhamdulillah. Right, we go on to our next recipe, that is the salt and pepper roast recipe. Now remember, listeners, these are recipes that you can use it with normal meat, that
yes,
your mutton that you normally buy from the butcher, but this is specifically freshly slaughtered meat.
Yes. Okay, for the salt and pepper roast recipe, it's 1 back or front leg, 1 onion grated, 3 whole green chilies, 1 teaspoon of mustard powder, 5 cloves of garlic, a few whole black peppercorns, and 5 tablespoons of white vinegar. You marinate your meat in the above ingredients, put it on low heat and cook slowly. Once the meat is nice and tender, you add 3 tablespoons of Worcester sauce and 1/4 pound of butter. You leave it to cook till nice and brown. Before serving, you sprinkle with black pepper and you serve with veggies.
Mm-hmm. That's just the ordinary leg roast.
Yes.
Yes, I do believe that, you know, sometimes the less ingredients you put,
the nice
more tastier it becomes.
Yes.
And especially if you're using fresh meat. You should try and put as little sauces and
yes,
especially sauces.
Yes.
You know, try and put as little sauces as possible.
And it does work. It comes out so nice, really.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, so let's go through this one. It's the salt and pepper leg roast recipe. It's 1 back or front leg. And you need 1 onion grated, 3 whole green chilies, 1 teaspoon mustard powder, 5 cloves garlic, a few whole black peppercorns. I love the peppercorns.
Mm.
Just makes your roast look so lovely and it gives it an extra flavor. Alhamdulillah. And 5 tablespoons of white vinegar. Okay, all you do is marinate the leg in all these ingredients that we've just shared with you. You put it on low heat and you cook it slowly. Once the meat is nice and tender, you add 3 tablespoons of Worcester sauce and 1/4 pound of butter. Leave to cook till nice and brown. And before serving, sprinkle with black pepper and serve with veggies. Okay, just a quick question, yes, Khadija, if you sometimes, you know, okay, you're not, maybe you don't cook the leg roast on that particular day, is it a good idea to actually marinate?
Yes,
your
it works
leg roast
just so well.
Mm-hmm.
It works so well. Actually, it's nicer if you marinate it for a while and then cook it. Like, for instance, if you want to make it for tomorrow and you marinate it today and put it away in the fridge, there's absolutely nothing wrong.
Mm.
It marinates nicer, the flavors go more nicer. Again, another tip, lots of people put rosemary, fresh rosemary also, in leg roast, and it gives such a nice flavor. So you can do that also.
Okay. Yes, and if in case, you know, it's also a good idea, sometimes it's a handy idea, I think, is if you have, you know, especially in our kurban, you're not going to use all the legs. So, you know, when you do cut up your meat, you actually wash them, marinate them, leave them for a while before you put them into the freezer. And then you just freeze it and you leave it. And whenever you need it, you take it out, throw it,
so
and put it up. Or you can even just put it up directly from, you know, frozen.
You don't have to throw it. You just put it from the freezer and you won't believe how nice that meat comes out.
Lovely, mashallah. Okay, we're going on to our next recipe, which is the
Masala leg roast.
Yes, this is again a bit of a different roast, leg roast. For the masala roast recipe, it's one front or a back leg again. 5 tablespoons of red ginger garlic masala, 1 teaspoon salt, 1 tablespoon of dry dana, 1/2 teaspoon of arrat powder, 1 cup of the Greek yogurt, that's the thick one, 1/4 cup of lemon juice, 1 few strands of saffron, ghee and oil mixed. You marinate the leg in the above mixture, cook slowly on heat. Once cooked, add ghee and let it cook nicely. Serve with fat chips or mashed potato and salad.
Yeah, lovely. This is a nice Sunday meal too.
Yes. Oh,
you know, instead of having a biryani and all that, especially now with summer coming in.
Yes.
You know, just a leg roast with some lovely
vegetables and salads.
Oh. It's mouth-watering. Okay, so for the masala roast leg recipe, you need 1 front or back leg. Sister Khadija, the leg.
Okay.
You know, when you cut it,
you normally slit it. So what happens? The masalas go nicely into the meat, mm-hmm. especially the back leg, especially because you must remember the back is always more meat in it. So you must give it these big slits so the meat cooks much nicer.
Also, if you, then you can actually put it into a pot because then you can just fit it into a pot.
Because normally the back leg is always so much bigger, so you need a very big pot for it.
Okay. So can you actually put it into the oven?
Yes, you can.
How do you cook it in the oven? Yeah.
It's a very long, it's going to take too long to cook, especially
if it's overnight.
Yes.
Leg roast?
You can, actually it's better to marinate it, not overnight in the oven, but maybe for about 2-3 hours so it can get nicely cooked. That's why if you want to, you can first just cook it for a while on the stove and then push it in the oven.
Okay, let's go through that. The masala leg roast, again you need 1 front or back leg, 5 tablespoons of red ginger garlic masala,
okay.
1 teaspoon of salt, 1 tablespoon of dry dhana. Is this the crushed one?
Yes.
Okay. Must it be very finely crushed?
No.
Or it doesn't have to be very fine?
No. It's even as a rough, it's nice. So.
Okay. 1/2 teaspoon of arrat powder. 1 cup of Greek yogurt. 1/4 cup of lemon juice. 1 few strands of saffron or saffron.
Mm-hmm.
And you need some ghee and oil mix. Then just marinate the leg in all these, ingredients. Cook it very slowly on low heat. And once it's cooked, you add ghee and let it cook nicely. I think this is the stage where you can put it into the oven.
Yes.
For those that want to put it in the oven.
Yes.
Sometimes you need some space on the stove.
Stove also. And this works very nice once you put it in the oven with the ghee in it. Mm-hmm. It just baste, but you have to baste the masala all the time on the leg.
Okay. You serve with fat chips,
yes.
Or mashed potato and salad. We're going to take a very short break. I think we skipped one break today. And then we'll come back and share the last recipe with you. Please do stay tuned.